My guest at this time is Brian Fisher. He is the Director of Issue Analysis at the American Family Association and the host of the program Focal Point on American Family Radio. He joins us today to talk about a controversy that erupted this week in Washington over the choice, and then no longer the choice, of the pastor to give the benediction at the president's inauguration. On January 21st, Barack Obama will be sworn in for a second term with his hand on two Bibles. However, evangelical pastor Louis Giglio has essentially been forced to back out of the event for his traditional views on homosexuality as espoused in the scriptures. A sermon that he gave on that subject back in the 1990s stirred up a huge controversy among liberals, and that essentially forced him to back out. Brian, thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome, Greg. Good to be with you.
As you pointed out in your piece that you wrote on this, and others have as well, this sermon was given back in the 1990s, and here's the portion that you quoted in your piece. If you look at the counsel of the Word of God, this is Giglio speaking, Old Testament, New Testament, you come quickly to the conclusion that homosexuality is not an alternate lifestyle. It is sin in the eyes of God, and it is sin according to the Word of God. But he goes on to say, our message is we know Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is powerful enough to do anything and everything, and the only way out of a homosexual lifestyle is through the healing power of Jesus. Brian, that sounds like a pretty traditional Orthodox Christian view of what the Bible has to say about homosexuality here. So what is it exactly about what he said many years ago that has so many people upset, do you think?
Well, and Louis Giglio was simply reflecting what the scriptures have taught for 2,000 years, what Christianity has believed and taught for 2,000 years. The viewpoint he expressed in his sermon is the viewpoint that was universally held in the United States from our founding, from when the Jamestown 1607 all the way up to the mid-1970s. There was virtually, you know, unanimous consensus about the understanding of homosexual behavior. It was not a lifestyle to be encouraged or promoted. It was contrary to the desire of God, the plan of God for humanity. You know, and it's troublesome to me, Greg, that he would be accused of being anti-gay, because if you listen to that sermon, he is for the homosexual. Here is a lifestyle that is self-destructive, and he's offering them hope. He's offering them a way out. He's offering the possibility of change. So that is not a message that is anti-gay. It is actually a message that offers hope and redemption to the homosexual. So it's just, it's obviously just bigotry that he was bounced from the platform.
What do you make of this development in the public square? I remember when George W. Bush was sworn in the first time in 2001, both Franklin Graham and Reverend Kirby John Caldwell were criticized for simply praying in the name of Jesus. So is this a major step away from freedom of religion in the public square, or more of the same?
I think it does represent a watershed moment. You know, Tony Perkins talked about this, the fact that this represents a significant shift in the Obama administration, that Rick Warren was allowed to be a part of the inauguration in 2008, despite the fact that he was a supporter of natural marriage, and now someone who holds a virtually identical position to the one that Rick Warren held, you know, has now been banished from the program. So, you know, what Al Mohler says, we've got a new form of McCarthyism here. You know, do you now or have you ever believed that homosexuality is a sin? If so, then we are going to send you to the back of the bus, just like we did with Rosa Parks.
Do you believe that essentially more people are going to be called on the carpet for that? And if so, what do you believe is the way to respond to that and to combat that?
Well, I think it's important for social conservatives and evangelical Christians to continue to maintain an unflinching allegiance to what the scriptures teach. You know, we believe that homosexual behavior, we don't criticize homosexual behavior because we don't like gays. It's because homosexual behavior kills people. It's the number one indicator or predictor of HIV/AIDS, which shortens lifespan, compromises health. We don't want to see anybody trapped in that lifestyle. And so I think it's important that we continue to maintain the message of the scripture, which is redemptive, it's positive, it offers hope, it offers help. And I was frankly a little bit disappointed that Louis Giglio didn't make the White House fire him. I mean, it's very clear that he was forced out, but he withdrew, and I think it would have been better for him to force them to fire him, because this is just anti-Christian bigotry, and he had an opportunity to call him on it and didn't do it.
Were you surprised that Reverend Giglio was asked to do this in the first place, and does the White House deserve any credit for that?
Well, you know, the reason that the White House invited him is that Reverend Giglio has done great work dealing with the issue of human trafficking. A lot of people don't know that Atlanta is the number one hub in the United States of America for human trafficking and sex slavery, and Reverend Giglio has done a great job of trying to deal with that problem in Atlanta, and that's what drew the attention of the White House to him. Well, You know, that's the same guy that believes that homosexual behavior is not something that we ought to promote. Same heart, same passion, same moral conviction. And so it's just unfortunate to see the White House decide that some of those convictions are appropriate and others are so offensive to the White House that he cannot be permitted to be a part of the inauguration ceremony.
Here's the comment from the Presidential Inauguration Committee spokesperson, quote, "They don't reflect our desire," meaning Giglio's comments, "to celebrate the strength and diversity of our country at this inaugural." Pastor Giglio was asked to deliver the benediction in large part for his leadership in combating human trafficking around the world. "As we now work to select someone to deliver the benediction, we will ensure their beliefs reflect this administration's vision of inclusion and acceptance for all Americans." What do you make of the political agenda, I guess for lack of a better term, to be expected now in these invocations and benedictions?
Well, the thing that strikes me here is that the inaugural committee does not believe in diversity at all. If they believe in diversity, they would celebrate the presence of Louis Giglio on the platform. Here is the wonder of the American experiment, that we have room for a wide range of views, even on controversial topics, and that's one of the reasons why we are happy to have Louis Giglio on our platform. So they don't believe in diversity at all. They believe in a monoversity. If you don't think like we do, believe like we do, speak like we do, you are going to be ostracized and marginalized and silenced. You know, in the last part of that statement that you read, Greg, you know, the administration's vision is one of inclusion and acceptance for all Americans. Well, Louis Giglio is an American. I'd like somebody to ask him how included and accepted he feels today.
You explained a little bit earlier, Brian, how you hope Christians will respond to this story and others like it. What's your expectation of how it will go, though? We saw last year when the crackdown against Chick-fil-A happened, there was a huge grassroots response in favor of Chick-fil-A and their right and their ownership and leadership to believe however they want. In the political sphere, when folks are obviously criticized very harshly for holding to the traditional view of marriage, do you expect that most will continue to hold to that position, or will most either clam up or look for some sort of common ground?
Well, I think most Christians, most evangelicals who believe in the scriptures, most social conservatives are continue to have grave reservations about homosexual behavior. The problem is a lot of them are going to be intimidated into silence, and they see what happens to Reverend Giglio and the bullying tactics of the left, their bigotry, actually having some success at getting him ostracized from the inauguration ceremony, and some of them may be inclined to become silent. But I think more and more Christians and social conservatives are going to say, look, I'm tired of us getting pushed around here. You know, the values that we believe in this area are values that were shared by the founding fathers, same set of moral values that built the United States into the greatest and strongest and most prosperous nation in the world. I'm tired of backing down on this issue. I'm tired of apologizing for this. I'm tired of Christian leaders who apologize for this. It's time for us to show some strength and some moxie. So I think we're going to start to see some pushback now against these bullying tactics from the left.
It'll be an interesting 4 years. Brian, thank you very much for your time today.
You're welcome, Greg. Good to be on.
Thank you, sir. Brian Fisher is the Director of Issue Analysis at the American Family Association. He's the host of Focal Point on American Family Radio. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.